Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. Today, I'm so excited to share a riff with Mike. You guys have heard him before a couple times on the show. We've got him back again. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Laura? Thanks for having me on.
I love it. I love that you're like three-peat, I think, now on the show. Your episodes have been so popular because they're helpful and practical and useful. Mike, again, runs the INLP Center. It is the program I'm going through for coaching. I'm actually doing the master's program now. It's awesome. If you guys want to check out some coaching school and on top of anything else you're doing, it's just amazing. But today we are going to focus on this question that comes up on the show all the time. We're talking about authenticity. What is the self? What does it mean to be truly you? Right? It's not an Instagram photo. It's not like a selfie. What does it really mean to be yourself? And this question that we bring up all the time about the core self and, you know, how do you know what it is and how to locate it and how to find it? But today we're going to talk about what happens when you disconnect from that core self. So Mike, I want to toss it over to you to get started. When we talk about disconnecting from our core self, right? Like, I think we use this term a lot. What do you interpret that to mean? And why does this happen?
Okay. Well, I've got about 50 thoughts going through my head right now. It's such an interesting topic. But to address the question, why or what happens when we disconnect from our core self? Well, I answer that in contrast to what happens when we're connected to our core self, which is we're fulfilled. In my view, living in accordance with who we are is fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And so when we're disconnected from our core self, we're not fulfilled on the inside. And there may be a host of other symptoms that go along with that. We're depressed, we're anxious, we don't feel grounded, and so forth. The world doesn't seem right, seems like something's missing, and so forth. But when we are connected to our core self, which in my view comes from consciously living our values, consciously addressing what's most important to us in life, that leads directly to fulfillment. And on the whole, when you're living a life that's not fulfilling to you, you're not doing that. You may be someone else's values. You're blowing in the wind. You sort of aren't connected to your values, not connected to yourself. You're not going to be fulfilled.
And so you made this pretty fun statement before we hopped on that it's kind of unavoidable to disconnect from our core self. And so I'm wondering if we're, it feels like this chicken and the egg, right? Because if you're not living in accordance with your values, you disconnect from your true self. But when do we ever take stock of what our values are so we don't disconnect, right?
Yeah, hardly ever. most people don't. I mean, it raises a lot of questions in my mind, but I think it's a very safe assumption that we're going to live a lot of our life. We are set up in so many ways not to be naturally connected to our core self. It is something that we consciously have to create. We consciously have to work toward. I think it's a given that in so many ways, given, you know, the way that we're born, the way that we're socialized, the environment that we grow up in, compared to the expectations that we have as children, it's a rough road. It's a rough road. And I don't know of anyone who, personally, I don't know of anyone who was raised to consciously connect with their core self. I mean, it's this idea that is not really attended well to. So I think it's a given. We're going to...
Because we raise our children to gain knowledge of the world, but not necessarily knowledge of self, right? Like we really focus them on learning, right? Like getting a job, earning money, status, and all these different things, and then behaving. We want them to behave a certain way. Obeying.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And all these things are important, but raising a child to ultimately discover who they are, what's most important to them, not so common, not so common.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to have a parent that's really focused on that. And most parents haven't been taught that that's important. So it's a disconnecting from your core self because, you know, we haven't really educated ourselves on what our values are. It's a process to learn what they are, and they're growing and changing, right? All the time. Yeah. So,
and you know, let's just take a moment and make things much worse, right? Not to be pessimistic, but there's another huge challenge to this that comes to mind, which is I'm not sure that we ever really can know who we are, right? Our consciousness is pretty limited. I mean, if you just go back to Miller's Law, that idea and that research that suggests that consciously we can only retain 7 ± 2 chunks of information at a time. Our consciousness is pretty limited. Fill our head with a phone number and we can't really attend to much else and hang on to the phone number, right? It's pretty limited what we can become aware of. And yet unconsciously we're processing a billion bits of data per second, right? It's this massive reservoir of activity and so forth. And so many of our behaviors are autopilot behaviors. Our decisions are autopilot decisions. Our feelings are autopilot reactions that we do not choose consciously. So this whole idea that we can know who we are with certainty, if you look at the apparatus, if we look at the tool for knowing who we are consciously as our conscious mind, we really, it's no wonder it's hard to get our mind around who we are. And so I think a good road to go down is to assume I don't necessarily know who I am. And it's always an unfolding. It's always a process of discovery. I shouldn't be surprised at anything really, because this conscious identity, this ability to be self-conscious and even reflect on who I am is a really limited, we're really limited in that capacity.
I don't know
if this necessarily moves our conversation forward, but it's an interesting perspective anyways.
No, I think it does. And I think for anybody listening out there, if what I'm hearing and what I think is so interesting is if we can only be conscious of 7 things, but we choose to fill those things with the to-do list and I got to brush my teeth and I got to catch the train on the way to work or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The question is, when do you ever take the time to fill up your conscious mind with these core values and connection to self? And interviewing about 100 or so people and asking them about their daily rituals, people who claim to have fulfillment in their life and feel a sense of connection, the thing they do say over and over and over is they have some ritual in their life where they, either at the beginning of the day, the end of the day, the beginning of the week, right? There's some time where they get quiet and they go for a walk, they journal, all sorts of different techniques, which doesn't matter, but they reflect on this question of, was today what I wanted it to be? How do I, you know, is this where I want to go? Is this making sense to me? Like, they're sort of staying on top of that question, making space for it. Don't you feel that it's important to make sure to add this to our daily rituals if this is a goal for us?
Yeah, it's beyond important. It's absolutely essential to consciously become aware and evaluate, because making that connection, I mean, let's say that I'm one of the people who I really understand my values. I really understand what's important to me in life. And I also know that all of us have a tendency to sort of live on autopilot and just get caught up in the to-do list and so on and so forth. And we're going through getting things done, and I can have a 6-hour stretch of my day that's just, you know, basically autopilot behavior, right? I'm just doing. Where's the fulfillment going to come if I don't stop and consciously check in and reflect? Is what I'm doing in line with what's most important to me? Do I need to make a course correction? And even experiencing the fulfillment, even experiencing sort of the pride or the esteem in who we are, you've got to make that conscious connection. We shouldn't be on autopilot. That's not what it is. So we absolutely have to. It's essential that we stop and reflect and make the conscious connection. As soon as I have the realization, hey, I'm doing what I want with my life. I'm living my values. That's where the fulfillment comes from.
Okay, so here's my question to you specifically, because I know you and I know the work you do, and neuro-linguistic programming is, in my opinion, deeply entrenched in this concept of how do we know when we've gotten somewhere and what does it feel like, look like, right? Like all that stuff. So if I do reflect and I'm sitting at home and I'm sitting with my journal and I'm thinking about my day, how do I know? Because this was something I had to learn. Am I actually aligned with my core values, or am I telling myself a good story that what I did today made sense, or other people's approvals, or right? Like, how do you know when you're connecting to that core self and you're doing something that's aligned?
Versus taking whatever you did and justifying it in order to align it, right?
Yeah, I stop and I self-reflect and I'm like, yeah, that was really great. I had a task list. I got it all done. That makes sense because I finished what I set out to do. But that's not what we're talking about, right? Like, it's not just that there's accomplishments or pay raises or, right? Like, we're looking for that sense of fulfillment. So how do you know when you found it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think there's a kind of a vague answer, which may be helpful, and there's a much more specific answer, which would require more digging. The vague answer is sort of back to fulfillment. In other words, when you think about what you've done and you realize it's in alignment with your values, you're going to feel fulfillment. You're not going to feel conflicted. You're not going to have to talk yourself into feeling good about it. You won't be making excuses for yourself. You just have this sense of inner fulfillment, inner pride, satisfaction, and you feel mm-hmm. grounded. There won't be a need for something more.
I love that. And other people's approvals.
Other people's approvals don't matter. Other people's approval or disapproval, it may matter. It doesn't throw you off. Right? It doesn't make you anxious.
Right. Like, I think of it as a cherry on top. Like, it's nice. Like,
and if they don't approve, depending on who it is, you may need to address that and so on and so forth. So we won't pretend that other people don't matter, but it is not something that gets in the way of your satisfaction and your fulfillment. There's not a dependency there on that approval or a lot of anxiety about it. You just have this satisfaction. It's like, it's enough that I don't need more mm-hmm. than this. Very, very grounded.
Love it.
In that way.
I love it. I love it. And so what are the steps, Mike? Like, if I'm listening to this and I'm somebody out there and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is so me. I don't really feel fulfilled. I feel as if I'm disconnected. You know, I don't have that grounded sense. Like all the ways in which you're describing it, it's not part of my life. What are the steps to reconnect to our core self? Like, do you have?
I have some suggestions. If we keep in mind this whole idea that, you know, it's the most likely scenario is that the self is something that you'll be discovering for the rest of your life. Lucky us, right? There's always going to be something new to discover. We can't ever really wrap our minds around all of who we are. And because the concept is vague, we kind of have to break it down into what tools can we use to focus on now in order to discover a big piece, a chunk of who we are, so that it leads to fulfillment. And I would suggest a life values inventory to do that. Life values are those concepts that are most important to you in life, like your health or love or relationships or success or peace or connection. Those kinds of concepts that are most important to us. And again, the things that are most important to us are by definition fulfilling to us when we're focused on those. We're in the process of attaining those. So if you don't know what those are, and given that we're all so susceptible to a myriad of influences, right? Peer pressure, pop culture, expectations at work, expectations from family. I mean, we have all of these outside influences. A life values inventory will point you in the direction and help you get very specific about the inner influences, the inner requirements that you have, as opposed to the external pressures that you get, which again, those external things, they can be very, very important, but they're not necessarily fulfilling. They're not necessarily in alignment with who you are. A good life values inventory will put you in touch with, help you define what's most important to you. And that is a big piece of who we are, in my opinion.
And I love that you say, when you're in the process of attaining those, that's when you'll find happiness. Because it's right, like, this is, I think, such a big part of our culture, American culture specifically, but we don't think it's the process, we think it's the end. And the end is one day of what could be a year-long journey.
Yeah, and it's another element of life values is, and it's they're really commonly confused with goals. So, you know, if I have a value of health, say, that's really different than my goals for health. And so goals may be challenging. We may want to push ourselves and so on and so forth. Values, we want to make sure they're easy to achieve. We want to make sure, because if they're not easy to achieve, then we don't get to experience the fulfillment that comes from living according to our values. And then if we don't experience that fulfillment, it becomes this futile thing, right? So we really want to make them accessible so that we can live them every day and experience fulfillment every day. They're not goals. We shouldn't be making them about the end result or things like that. So
last question, if somebody's out there and they're like, how do I get my value inventory going? Do you have a recommendation? Do you guys offer that on your site?
We do, but I recommend that you get in touch with Lorico, who can help you discover your life values and a coach can have, right? Or, I mean, you can help me. You can help me. I would find a coach, sure. Right? And you know this stuff. I know this stuff. At the INLP Center, we teach life coaches how to elicit a client's values, and especially the values that the client may not be aware of. We teach, and then how to work with those and so forth. But that on our website is really for people who are in training to be life coaches. If you're an individual and say, you know what, I don't have the fulfillment that I want. You know, something seems a little bit off. I really need to get in touch with what's most important to me in life. I would recommend finding a coach who knows how to help you elicit your values, discover values conflicts, make decisions based on your values, set goals based on your values, and make it easy for you to live your values every day. So personal coaching, life coaching would be a really good direction to go.
Mike, this was awesome. So filled with so many incredible insights and practical advice. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing the riff with me.
You are so welcome. And thanks again for having me, Laura.
And for everybody out there, thank you once again for listening. And as always, we appreciate any input. If you want to jump over to iTunes, leave a review, hit subscribe. Every little bit counts.